physical education research. This is episode 66 and focuses on Pilvicky Haikanaro Johansson and colleagues' pedagogical case about Oni. This is an audio version of the PEPN blog that can be found at www.peprn.com/news.aspx. All for one. Sometimes we don't often get the time to speak to the parents of students we teach. The role of specialists, such as physiotherapists, in physical education might also seem abstract. This blog highlights the importance of three-way communication pathways between parents, teachers, and specialists. It shows that by working together, we all play a role in supporting young people's development. Oni. Oni, Finnish for luck, lives in a second-floor flat in a well-to-do neighbourhood in a Finnish city. Both his parents have good jobs and the family does well for itself, financially. But there are other costs. Both his mum and his dad work long hours, and Oni is either left to fend for himself or spends his time with his grandparents who live close. At 13, this is not so much of an issue, and he spends much of his time playing games and programming on his computer. Yet he spends so much time at his computer that he's beginning to complain of headaches and a pain in the neck. He doesn't have any close friends, at least he didn't at elementary school, and now he's just started middle school. It doesn't look like this is going to change. That said, he does have virtual friends he talks to on his computer, which is another reason he likes to spend most of his time there. Oni is one of the youngest in his class, and one of the smallest, and his lack of friends and confidence mean he is also one of the quietest. He is very creative and imaginative, and draws very well, but he's very tired during the school day, a result of staying up late on his computer, sometimes until dawn. Living in a second floor flat with busy parents means that physical activity hasn't played a big part in his leisure time. He does, like the majority of Finnish adolescents, cycle to school, and yet while he enjoys being outside, this is his only regular physical activity. Let's look at the pedagogical case in more detail. Central to Oni's pedagogical case is his teacher, Mikhail. In Finnish schools, students are placed in home groups, and one member of staff takes care of the students in his or her home group for the year. Coincidentally, Mikhail is also Oni's physical education teacher and his health education teacher, and, as a consequence, gets to see a lot of him each week. His first impressions of Oni are that he is a nice, quiet little boy who isn't disruptive and doesn't interrupt. Both good things in Mikhail's eyes. The school's leadership team and teaching staff firmly believe that high-quality professional development is a strategic imperative if they are going to be able to maximise learning. At this year's preschool planning stroke development day, they have agreed to use the school wellbeing profile as a tool for measuring and enhancing the school's overall wellbeing. In particular, the school staff have agreed that this year they will focus on pupils' health and well-being by fostering cooperation and enhancing home-school partnerships, something that will prove very significant for Oni. First lesson in both health and physical education is spent co-planning this year's curriculum provision. Mikhail wants to take into account the individuality of each of his pupils and allow them to be part of the planning and decision-making. To do this, Mikhail has them fill in a questionnaire outlining their hobbies, physical activity preferences, health issues, and hopes for the lessons. Oni mentions his computer and drawing and says he doesn't want to play football, soccer, or ice hockey, but try something new instead. He mentions his problems with his neck and says he has some pain in his lower back, and that this might stop him taking part in lessons sometimes. Mikhail wants all his pupils to be motivated and have fun in physical education, but he sees that Oni doesn't get very actively involved in lessons. He is withdrawn and sits or stands near the wall. He nearly always goes to the back of the line and is almost always willing to let others take his place rather than get involved himself. He gets laughed at by bigger boys when he tries to catch a ball. And it is clear to Mikhail that Oni doesn't have very diverse motor skills. Health lessons deal with sex education, alcohol, emotions, quarrels at home, friends, sleep, and growing up, among other things. Oni is included, despite his reluctance, by the range of teaching approaches that Mikhail uses, and this allows Mikhail to better understand Oni like 1 in 4 Finnish boys and 1 in 3 Finnish girls, only has neck problems. And Mikhail asks all of his pupils to keep a diary of well-being for 1 week, recording daily physical activity, eating and sleeping habits. Through the diary and his observations, Mikhail notes that Oni has difficulty finding work partners from other students and is often tired in lessons. Drawing on the school's decision to strengthen and consolidate the home-school partnership, Mikhail arranges a call with Oni's parents. He learns that on the week that Oni missed a dance lesson, both his parents were overseas on business. Oni's mum is surprised to hear that Oni is tired and has no friends at school, but she is very busy, as is her husband. Mikhail learns that Oni spends many afternoons at home alone and that he plays on his computer until late in the evening, although she thought he got enough sleep. Mikhail also finds out that while they, Oni's parents, know that Oni doesn't have the best conditions in which to grow up, they don't know what they could do to change this. Like many families, Oni's values leisure time more highly than work, but work takes up a lot of time and they are left with the guilt but no real change. Oni's mum mentions his lower back and shoulder pain, and it is agreed that he should consult with the school physiotherapist. During his visit to the physiotherapist with his mum, Oni is asked to sit and play a computer game and to walk to check his gait. The physiotherapist also checks the functioning of his spinal column. She notices that his sitting position is rotated and he has a tendency to keep his right shoulder slightly elevated when he is at his desk, and that his right stride is longer than his left. Finally, she notices that he had functional rotation in his middle back that was causing his muscles to be overworked when moving or sitting for long periods. His limited functional rotation affected his walking system and made Oni appear clumsy at times. It didn't affect him when sitting, but manifested itself in head and back pain. The physiotherapist said that Oni needed to improve his body awareness by strengthening the connection between his body and mind, thus improving his body consciousness, body management, and body experience. It was recommended that Oni and his dad should participate together in a father and son exercise club, because research suggested that same-sex parents have a stronger influence on a child's behaviour than cross-sex parents. Additionally, Oni's family needed to think about his ergonomic demands and purchase a suitable workstation which would cater for Oni's physical, cognitive, technical and social needs. At school, Mikhail, armed with this information, was able to carefully plan and anticipate Oni's needs and can choose proper equipment, planning pupil groupings and pupil appropriate tasks, and use a suitable location and suitable instructions for activities. By fostering cooperation between classmates, one of his aims at the start of the year, and helping students to notice, listen, accept, trust and appreciate each other, he was able to increase pupil self-esteem. At home, Oni's lack of physical activity, like the majority of his peers, research suggests, was a concern. Despite his cycle to school, Oni wasn't meeting the 1 to 2 hours of activity a week that was recommended. Conversely, he was greatly surpassing the recommended 2 hours maximum of sitting each day and 2 hours maximum of entertainment media use that had been recommended. Support at home, though, was more forthcoming, and the exercise and bonding with his dad was helping. The school were aware of these recommendations and was trying to include a variety of opportunities for activity breaks and after-school initiatives. Through a small grant, they were able to build a new playground, and Oni's digital skills came in handy when creating an online space for the pupils to post ideas and in taking photographs. His self-esteem rose as he cooperated with his peers and learned to marry his love of the outside with a passion for design. He made friends and spent time with them. He played outside in the playground and discovered other spaces and things that he could do with his friends. It is hard to point at one single facet of Oni's case that led to success. Mikhail was key, but he couldn't have done it without help from home and from the physiotherapist or the wider school. It was a team effort, and there were multiple pieces of the puzzle to fit together. The holistic approach of all concerned, Oni included, played a key role, and this collaborative approach was instrumental in helping Oni. Therefore, this case highlights that it is important that the support young people need comes from the home and from the school. How we help young people should not occur in separate spaces, but should transfer between the 2 or 3 spaces respectively. The case shows that teachers openly and freely communicating with parents is a good strategy. Yet fundamentally, teachers and parents should consult with specialists, such as physiotherapists, when needed, gaining advice and then sharing the information with each other to support young people's development. So in concluding, how does this discussion relate to you, your sessions and your context? Did it make you think or consider something? I'd love to hear your thoughts and so would others, so please share at www.peprn.com/news.aspx. Thanks for listening, and join me next week for the next Pepin podcast where I will discuss Steve Harvey and colleagues' pedagogical case about Jenny. Acknowledgements. I would like to thank Vicky Goodyear for her work behind the scene as copy editor. Her help certainly forms a vital part of the production of this podcast and in getting it out in time and a semblance of coherence. However, it is important to note that any mistakes that remain are mine. Thank you.